What does he say? Unruly?
Unruly!
My dad!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Please Excuse My Tone, episode 11. The numbers keep on climbing. I can't believe it's been 11 already, guys. But,
yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Agreed, agreed, agreed. Listen, let's try to have a good show today. You already know what it is. And I think we just need to jump right into the topics. So let's talk about something that's kind of old right now, but our podcast is weekly. So, March Madness, finally over, championship game. We have a person in the midst. Guys, wait, hold on. How did you guys not tell me that I didn't introduce anyone?
Because they know who we are by now.
No.
But just in case you didn't know, let's introduce.
Thank you. Okay, as usual, for Please Excuse My Tone Sports Podcast, I'm one of your three hosts, Brandon Lessey. To my left is...
Justin DeFoo.
And to his left is...
Akeem Thompson. Okay. One name.
What?
One name.
Just today?
He's an adult today. He's an adult today.
I'm an adult.
Okay, no AKAs for Mr. Akeem Thompson today. Very good, very good. All right, okay, now back to dive in. March Madness, all right? So, Mr. Justin DeFoo, we're going to just attack you right now and talk about...
Oh, yeah, this Gonzaga pick.
Talk about your Zags pick, because Akeem and I picked North Carolina for the win, and I believe they did win.
Can I speak first since I get the attack?
Of course. What do you have to say? I mean, hey, listen, the loser has the floor, the losing pick.
It's fine. Right. The loser will speak first. First of all, you know, I'll say congrats to North Carolina.
You better.
But let's add something to this, all right? The refs missed a crucial call in 47 seconds, you know, that left pretty much the game at R, which was the missed call on Meeks when they were fighting for the rebound. And if you didn't notice, Meeks was out of bounds. But North Carolina was awarded. They were up by three, and that could have possibly been an opportunity for Zags to at least
tie. I like that word you use. Possibly.
Yeah.
I like that.
Possibility.
I like that word. Possibility.
Playing the what-if game.
I like that.
But congrats to North Carolina.
You're talking about a call that you don't know if the Zags got the ball. You don't know if they would have been able to tie or bring it into a one-point game. And even so, if they do that, you still don't know if they would have won. North Carolina won this game fair and square. I think Zebras, refs, it's always going to be human error when it comes to them, no matter what sport we're dealing with, and you just have to be able to overcome that. And the perennial choke artists, as I like to call them, Gonzaga, the Zags, they choked again.
Right, but they would have never had that third turnover. I'm not going to lie. They turned over the ball.
You can't say they would have never had nothing.
Listen. Like I told you last week, there are just some teams I don't trust, all right? Villanova proved me wrong one year last year. But I don't trust them as they proved me right this year, as they proved you wrong, Justin, because you thought they were going
to
be.
No. Here's my thing. It's not proving me wrong. They were at the big game for the opportunity to be a champion.
Okay,
I thought they was going to make it. I knew they wasn't going to win, though.
I didn't think they got me there. I didn't think they were going to go that far. But I knew for a fact that they weren't going to win this game. Or I knew that.
And let's not forget the fact that North Carolina was playing pretty bad throughout the game.
Just the first half.
Let me also, I didn't mention Georgetown, because I have to mention them in the perennial flop artist, choke artist taglines. All right,
we'll get there.
We will, but I have to mention them because that's who they are. Those three teams I just don't trust. I'm sorry, I can't.
You want to throw Michigan in that too, you know, C-Web days?
nah,
C-Web.
They went up against a good team.
I'm
man.
Not throwing Michigan in there. I'm throwing
calling the timeout when there's no timeout.
You want maybe if you want to throw Chris Webber in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, throw Chris Webber
I'm
in there.
I won't throw the Wolverines in there, man.
All right.
But yeah, so Brandon brought up Georgetown just a little while ago, and we're going to do something new and go into something or nothing, not to be confused with nothing or something from PTI.
I like that intro, man.
And our first topic is going to be my guy from Jamaica. I'm Jamaican, by the way. Patrick Ewing getting hired by his alma mater, Georgetown. Big deal, little deal, no deal, something, nothing. I wasn't done.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right.
What you guys think?
Jay, you want to go first or I'm going to take this? I think I'll go first.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to go with nothing. Sorry.
Ooh.
I know he's your cool running mate. All right? Your cool running. But listen, we have never seen Patrick Ewing coach on any level as a head coach. I don't know his philosophy. He's coached under a lot of coaches. I don't know what his philosophy is when it comes to offense or defense. I know him as a player. I know he prided himself on defense. But I don't know if he can coach. I don't know if he can teach. I know that we talk about Dwight Howard not learning under him when he was in Orlando, but that seems to be more on Dwight Howard since he never learned under anyone.
I'm glad you said that because I was ready for
that. It's okay. He never learned under anyone, but still, he had Dwight Howard first, and I'll say that he didn't take him in his young stages and really teach him the way I thought he could have been teached and molded at that young age. That being said, with the coaching, we've also never seen Patrick Ewing go out and try to get recruits. He has not been involved in college for over 35 years or something like that. Fact check later. Is this going to be something that he's going to be able to do? Be able to recruit kids to come and play for Georgetown? Georgetown, which is a big name school, but hasn't really been a big name school over the last decade or so. Is he going to be able to do that? And if he does bring in the players, is he going to be able to coach them to where Georgetown wants to be? It was a reach of a hire, I think. And I think that in firing John Thompson III, they still wanted to keep Big John happy and decided to bring one of his disciples in Patrick Ewing to coach. And I think that's what they did to kind of make Big John happy still because of the clout he still holds in that school. But I'm going to go with nothing until he proves me wrong.
And you know what's funny? All those reasons that you just said is why I think it's something.
Really?
Yes. Because, like you said, we've never seen him as a head coach. Mm. We don't know his philosophies. That's why I think it's a good step for him to start off at college and try to mold these young guys into something. And I think he can show it because he's been an assistant for how many years now?
Okay, but
he can mold them into the NBA game.
Let me ask you a question since you brought that point up about how long he's been an assistant. Do you think that there's something to it that he has never even been offered a head coaching job in the NBA? Do you think that GMs, front office people, presidents, and sometimes even owners see something in him that doesn't equate to being a great head coach?
I think with that, I think it's more of the interviews. I don't know if it's him coaching, because if it was his coaching, he should have been off teams a long time ago.
Okay, but if his philosophy and what you think he's going to do for the team is so great, interview or not, you should be able to show what you want to do and your philosophies of offense and defense and how good of a coach you think you can be, and you'd be able to sell yourself on that. Whether the interviews don't go as well because maybe he's not as charismatic as one needs to be to have success in the interview, I don't think they're looking at charisma or as much as they're looking at your potential to be a good head coach. And I think that has something to do. It has to have something to do with why he hasn't been a head coach.
For me personally, I simply see it like this. How many head coaches in today's game do you that have been players? You know, for me, it's two. You got Doc. You got the Suns coach. Who else?
I mean, are you talking about currently in the league?
Currently in the league.
Okay, so you have Jeff Hornacek in the Knicks. You have Doc Rivers. Earl Watson in the Suns.
Right.
That's all that's coming to mind right now. I'm sure Jason Kidd, Milwaukee Bucks.
Right. For me, I feel
like Walton, L.A. Lakers.
Right.
Steve Kerr.
Okay.
Damn, but Golden State, damn, for real.
But how much teams are there?
Tyronn Lue.
There's a few.
Right, but you know, here's some of that, but you're going to get a little knock. For instance, you know, Tyronn Lue, yes, he did win a championship with the Cavs, but as a coach, you don't really see as much respect as you would, you know, let's give it to, compare it to Boston's head coach.
I think the point Justin's trying to make is that the superstar never really gets looked at as a good coach.
Okay, agreed. Let me say something about the point you brought up about Celtics coach and Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens has a track record of being a great college coach. He came in there and he's doing something with a lot of nothing.
Agreed.
On that team. Ty Lue hasn't coached long enough for us to really think. I think he is a decent coach.
I think he lucked up into a good situation.
Agreed. I do agree with that also.
Agreed,
and
too.
Coaching LeBron. But I think he's a decent coach. But we haven't really seen him really have to be tested as a coach to really understand if he's a good coach or not. In terms of superstars being good coaches, that's true. But I've still seen superstars get chances to coach.
Here's my take on it, guys. I'm leaning towards Akeem. I think it's something. For reasons that, you know, let's give Patrick an opportunity to show his recruiting skills, see if he knows how to do that, play the X's and O's, run game plans.
Don't get me wrong. I'm happy for Patrick Ewing. I hope that he is successful, but I have to look at it like this also.
Now here's my other take on the something. If this doesn't work out, kill that whole regime. Hire who you want, Georgetown, all right? You don't owe anyone anything from your coaching days. That's just a simple, my simple take.
I think
because of John Thompson.
Big John, yo, he put Georgetown on the map. Not just as a basketball program, but Georgetown as a university.
As a school, but
I understand this. But if this Patrick Ewing thing doesn't work out, the recruiting, his ability to coach, I think you have to start a new regime.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying it's difficult for them to do that.
I understand that.
Especially when Big John seems to be very much involved in what's going on. He's there at the practices. He's there at the games. And so it's difficult. And you can't tell him, hey, don't come back.
No.
There's a reason why you look at what happened. I mean, the situations are completely different. But you look at what happened with Joe Pye at Penn State. I mean, how much stuff had to come out for them finally to remove this guy from being associated with their university, you know? So it's difficult, and Big John hasn't done anything compared to what was going under Joe Pa's watch.
I don't mean like don't let him allow him to come to practices, but as, you know, someone who's been a legend, I think he'll understand of them going a different direction in terms of coaching and things
If that was the case, they wouldn't have went Patrick Ewing's way in the first place, I think, for the hire. But all that being said, I think we all agree that we hope Patrick Ewing does well and is successful in his job. But I will be watching closer to see what he does. He already said in the interview that not to expect anything from this year because recruits have already declared where they're going and they haven't been able to do whatever and stuff like that.
Which is understandable. He got hired late.
Late, really late.
Agreed, but I'm not sure if you want your head coach saying that. True. That's a little too honest.
True.
All right, next topic of something or nothing. Tony Romo retiring.
I gotta go with something because first of all, it caught me off guard when that alert came up on my phone. I'm surprised that he retired. I'm surprised at the way Jerry Jones really handled the situation with him. I thought they would have treated him with a little bit more respect in terms of just releasing him, allowing him to go to whatever team he wants. I mean, I thought he earned that at least, the same way that Irsay and the Colts did for Peyton Manning, allow him to go wherever he wants. I think that's fair. And they didn't do that, and Tony Romo decided to take the broadcasting gig, I think, with CBS?
Correct, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I think the teams, Texans or Broncos, I mean, this is obviously if he's healthy, he goes to those teams, and they are Super Bowl contenders without a doubt, especially the Broncos. The Broncos are missing a QB. They have wide receiver core. They have a defense. Looking for a running back, but with Tony Romo at your helm, you could overcome not having a great running back. That defense is strong, and I thought that he was going to get a chance to get another Super Bowl run. Surprised.
Here's my thing. I think it's something, like Brandon said. Mm-hmm. As he put it, Broncos. And to me, he would probably throw better and look better than Manning did when he went to the Broncos. Yes.
Okay. Would he look better than Peyton Manning?
Not in terms of accuracy.
What year are you talking about? Peyton Manning's last year?
Last year. Okay. That's what I'm referring to. That's what I'm referring to. Yeah, I apologize, everyone.
I agree. He would have looked better.
Here's my thing. I thought the Cowboys handled the situation horribly. I thought Jerry Jones was selfish, but understandable. You want to... You know, you have a piece that someone wants. Hey, let's get, you know, job. You want to get better, you know, as a team, and you want other teams to get worse.
Yeah, but
That's true.
It's true, but you got to see that teams know that you're playing. You have to release this guy. They're not going to give you anything because they know that eventually you got to release him. Mm-hmm. So why am I giving you something that I know I can get for free?
Right, and here's what I think is something as well. It changed the whole domino effect of quarterbacks going this season. You know, like a Colin Kaepernick. And a couple of these.
You think what his retirement has affected their situation in a good way?
Apparently, yes, I do think so.
Well, at least
think that's going to give them more reason to pick up someone like Colin Kaepernick?
No, Jay, I actually think that's a good point because the Broncos might be looking at Colin Kaepernick now. I heard they were, but you know, if
as well as the Texans.
Right. You have the Texans especially because they don't have anyone. Who's the guy? Savage? They don't. I don't know if they, the coach left Savage, but I don't know if they want to roll with him. They want to look. They want to do something now. They have a defense that's ready. They have offense that's
on that. Yeah, yeah.
And they want a more experienced quarterback. And maybe Colin Kaepernick is the guy that they decide to bring in. The same thing with the Broncos. I'm not sure if they want to go with these. With sophomore quarterbacks now.
Agreed.
We saw what they did last year.
And you have a top 10 wide receiver in the game.
So it does affect, that is a good point. It does affect at least Colin Kaepernick's stock when it comes to going to other teams. But I don't know if I still don't know if he gets signed, bro. I think he's black, but he's been black.
No, well, it's him, it's Jay Cutler, there's a few other QBs out there.
Jay Cutler, who?
To me, he's looking at Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Anybody needed to retire. It's that
Nobody's man. Looking at Jay Cutler, man.
But I'm not going to stay too long on this topic. I think it's something to go with what you guys said. I think you're right. It is selfish of Jerry Jones. He handled it terribly. He should have just released him. Like
my thing with Jerry with that point is that he's saying something like, "Oh, I love Tony Romo. Tony Romo." But then. That's how you don't treat someone you love or you say you love like that. You don't treat them in that way. Free him.
Like, I understand you want to keep him under the Cowboys name, but come on now. Let the man have his career. Like, he could still be healthy if he went to the right situation.
What's even funny, what I'm laughing about is simply this. Jerry Jones just don't want him to get a ring before they get a ring. I'll just keep it 100 like that.
I'm
going to keep it 100 like that.
Because their team is a Super Bowl contending team, whereas the Colts, when Jim Irsay let Peyton Manning off go, they were not in contention for a Super Bowl the next year, the next 2 years. They weren't going to be. He knew that. He let him free. Jerry Jones wasn't going to be the guy that released Tony Romo. Tony Romo goes and wins the Super Bowl. That was probably supposed to be their Super Bowl.
Imagine if you play him in the Super Bowl and you lose to them.
That would
hurt.
Agreed.
That would be hilarious. All right. Let's get back into the NBA. Now, my guy.
We didn't start on the NBA.
We did?
This is the first thing.
That is a good point. That's a good point. Let's get back to basketball.
There we go.
And let's talk about the NBA. My guy, Mr. Rage, Russell Westbrook, not only becomes the second player ever to average a triple-double in the NBA, in NBA's history, but he also breaks Oscar Robertson's triple-double record in the single season.
Years.
So, something or nothing. Justin, I like the way your face.
Yeah, your face looks crazy right now.
So I'm not gonna go to you yet. I'm gonna go to Akeem and expect to hear something.
I'm gonna say this is something. This guy's the MVP. This guy's averaging a triple double. The way he broke Oscar Robertson's record. Let's talk about it.
That 36 footer.
Woof. The man dropped the game win on him too. Russell Westbrook, you my MVP. I don't know about some other people on this podcast, but congratulations.
Person, not people. Person.
Oh, person.
Another person.
Sorry, okay. Excuse me.
Jay, go ahead. What you have to say?
You know what? It's something.
Okay. It better happen.
It looked like it hurt you to say that, though.
Yes, it did hurt to say that. Look, it's historical numbers. He's the second person all time to average a triple-double. It's really amazing for him to, you know, put out the stats he's been putting out in terms of leading the league in points, leading the league in guards with rebounds.
Third in assists.
To be top five in certain categories and still be able to, you know, be top in steals and things of that sort. He's not my MVP based off of he took 1,900 plus shots to average 31 points, whereas the runner-up took 400 less shots and is leading the league in assists. He has had 62 double-doubles. He's second behind Russell Westbrook.
This is not about James Harden, brother.
All right? I know it's not. But I just want to just make a case. You know, I feel like he made a case for himself.
Who made a case for himself?
Harden, in terms of...
He made a case to be the runner-up to the MVP, man. What you mean?
You know, but it's historical stats. Regardless of the way I feel, if I do think his teammates block out and have him grab rebounds. Go ahead, Brandon.
This is a whole lot of something, all right? Listen, when Russell Westbrook was starting out on this triple-double venture that he was doing at the beginning of the season.
No one thought he could keep it up.
I didn't think he could play like that for a total 82 games and average a triple-double just because of the type of rage he comes in and plays 24/7 every game, that he brings every game. And I know that he has his history of injuries is one of the best. He's not a very injury-prone dude. He's very healthy, except for the dirty play by Patrick Beverley. He probably would have never missed a game in the league. And that goes back all the way to college. That goes back all the way to high school. He never missed a game before that injury. So
he's junior LeBron.
I just didn't think that his body could hold up under that type of pounding and beating that it was taking. And I think it's amazing. I think every person you talk to says, we never expected anyone else to average another triple-double in the league ever. We've never thought that somebody would break 41 triple-doubles in a season. Never. And this is coming from current players, coming from past players, coming from Hall of Famers. It is. What do you have to say?
Another thing to add too, we don't actually know if Oscar Robertson didn't have more triple doubles in the season because they didn't really start really recording it till a yes, certain. They were. Oh, they were. Oh, okay.
That's how they know he got 41.
No, I'm just saying like he could have had more before they actually started in the season.
Let's say that was true. It doesn't matter.
No, I'm saying.
What does it have to do with what's going on right now?
The records, yeah, correct. Go ahead.
And, you know, it's just, listen, it's amazing. He's my MVP. I think a guy that puts up that kind of stats, works that hard with a roster that I think is mediocre. And that's putting it kindly.
It's better than Kobe's roster when he should have won it that year. Yeah, he had like 35.
Yeah, but I agree. Either he should have won it. But in this case, Russell's team is in the sixth spot and that Lakers team was in the eighth spot.
Let's not forget about them being in the playoffs.
But, listen, something, all right?
We're going to stay with the NBA, and this is a topic that I don't think it's something. I'm going to just put it out there right now before I mention the topic. But maybe these guys got a different opinion.
The Spurs have spoiled you, bro. It's crazy.
They have.
Too spoiled by their greatness that you think anything they do is nothing.
So just so everyone knows, we're talking about the Spurs winning back-to-back, having back-to-back 60-win seasons. I don't think it's something because I know the Spurs play for June.
But let's just remember that this is the first time they've ever done this in franchise history.
I understand that.
Okay.
But they play for June. So they play to get themselves to June. If you gotta win 60 wins, if you gotta get 60 wins to do it, then go ahead, do it. You got the personnel to do it. You got the greatest coach in the game right now.
Oh, right. I was waiting for that right now. Okay.
I respect Phil, all right?
Thank you.
But yeah, you got the greatest coach right now. You got the personnel to do it. Congratulations on getting back-to-back 60-plus wins. But I don't think it's a big deal.
Here's where I say I disagree with you 100%. I personally think it's...
Are Justin and I about to agree?
I think
oh my gosh!
I think it's something. It shows... you know, in terms of top level sort of organizational, like Bulls, to me, they need to be put in the realm of Boston Celtics back in the day. LA Lakers.
They haven't
Chicago
already?
Bulls. I feel like, no, they haven't.
Really?
I feel like because we're so accustomed, you know, 20 seasons of them making it in the playoffs, 20 seasons of them winning over 50 games, we're spoiled and we forget. For me, this is management all the way down to coaching to players. I feel like...
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think the Spurs are fourth in all-time championships. I don't agree with that at all. I think they get...
You think they get the respect in terms of...
Of course. The amount of coaches that are hired that are Greg Popovich disciples in this league, he is the Bill Belichick of the NBA when it comes to teams hiring assistant coaches that have coached under him. He is. They're like, oh, you are assistant coach under Greg Popovich? Oh, we need to see you. Oh, your team's still in the playoffs? We still need to see you.
Right after this.
We still need to see you. And we will hold off on hiring anyone until we interview you. So I think that alone from other team organizations in the league showing that much respect to anyone that's coached inside that organization under Greg Popovich shows the respect that they have for not only Greg Popovich but for the Spurs organization there. But that being said, I do agree with you that this is something.
They're not third, though. Bulls are third.
I didn't say third. I said fourth.
It's a fourth.
Oh, fourth. All right.
Bulls are third. I think it's something, and the biggest reason I think this is something, because it's the first time they've done it in franchise history, and to do it, they've never done this while Tim Duncan was there. He was there for last year, but he wasn't there for the second part of doing it back-to-back, and I think it's amazing that he never had back-to-back 60-win seasons. He has had five 60-win seasons while Spur, and the first one was in 2002-2003 season. He was 60-22. The next one, 05-06, 63-19. 2010-2011, 61-21, 2013-2014, 62-20, and last year, 2015-2016, they had 67 wins and 15 losses. Now, never a back-to-back season, though. And, you know, it's impressive that they've done it this year. And I think it's something. It may not be a whole lot of something, but it's something. And I'm sorry that Akeem is so spoiled by their greatness.
You guys...
Just acknowledge me. Just acknowledge me, man.
Okay, fine. Acknowledge it. Fine. It's not a big deal for the Spurs, though.
I understand. I understand what you're saying, but I think you're so spoiled that even things like this you don't consider big to them because all they are about.
Because I understand the job that they're doing, and it's okay. They're getting 60 wins. Fine, but that's not what their goal is. A lot of teams have certain goals set out, and 60. They could have 58 wins, 55. As long as the Spurs are in the playoffs, that's their goal. Their goal is to make it to June, and that's it.
It's interesting to me that you have 60-plus wins and you're second in the West.
I mean, last year they had 67 wins.
Second.
That's like a top five best records ever. In the history of NBA, and they were still second.
And was second.
Yeah.
So, but, Akeem, I agree with you, but except for I don't agree with how nonchalantly you're taking this achievement. I think it's a little something.
Spurs don't sign my checks, so I don't think it's a lot of nothing.
They don't sign my checks either, so he's making a strong point.
All right, something or nothing. So stick on the NBA. NBA salary cap next year will be $101 million.
Woo!
Up from $94 million this season. Something or nothing, fellas?
I think it's something. Like, these guys are getting a lot of money now, man. I don't understand how like there's a lot of bum players that's gonna be getting some checks and they don't deserve it.
Is that my intro?
I know. Yes, it was the segue for you because I know you got a lot of numbers right there.
Because this is something, and it's something to me because I'm seeing a lot of players that don't have the talent to be deserving of the type of contracts that they're signing. And this started last summer. And I'm going to mention a couple of names here.
Let's say the names.
What they're making and some of their stats. So let's start off with the newly signed center of the Boston Celtics, Mr. Al Horford. A fan favorite and personally one of my favorite players throughout the years. But he's not Atlanta Hawks Al Horford. He was signed to a four-year, $113 million deal. Someone signs for $113 million, I'm at least expecting 20 points from them. Yes or no?
True.
Okay. 20 plus points, to be honest. He's averaging 14 points.
If he gave me 15 and 12, I'll be okay with the two.
So is 14 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists okay with you?
No.
Okay. Bam. Next guy, Mr. Mike Conley. 5 years, $153 million. He's averaging 20 points, 3.5 rebounds, and 6.3 assists. Is that deserving of the highest paid contract ever in the league?
I let Mike Conley rock on that one.
All right. I had Bradley Beal highlighted here, but he has actually had a good season, and so he's starting to prove that he was worth that contract, even though it's played from before.
Why don't you say the stats in the contract? Say it.
No, because I'm not involving him in this conversation right now because of the good year he's had. Okay, I will throw in Mr. Nicholas Batum of the Hornets signing a 5-year, $120 million contract. Averaging 15 points, 6.3 rebounds, and 5.9 assists. Clearly overpaid. Who else do we have here? Chandler Parsons. I didn't even write down his stats because he never plays. He's making four years. He's making $98.5 million over 4 years. He never plays a game.
I'm going to tell you what that man is. That man is smart. That's what that man is. The
organization wasn't smart at all. How to sign a contract if you don't play a lick of game. If you play 50 games a season, I want $45 million back.
He never plays ever. He's always injured.
That's what they should have done, but NBA can't do that because they
listen.
Kent Bazemore.
That's the NFL, buddy.
Kent Bazemore, 4 years, $70 million. Ryan Anderson, 4 years, $80 million. Bismack Biyombo, 4 years, $72 million.
Bismack was hot. He was hot.
Because he blocked Kevin Love once? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Evan Turner, 4 years, $70 million.
I don't understand that.
9 points a game, 3.8 rebounds, 3.2 assists. He's making $70 million.
He was injured this season.
And if he wasn't injured, he would have been scoring more?
Probably like 15.
Stop it. I doubt it. I could put these points up, man. Let me go get a contract from the Brooklyn Nets. Who we have here? Courtney Lee. Oh, Harrison Barnes. 4 years, $94 million. Yeah, he was on the cusp. He's averaging 19.2 points, 5 rebounds, but only 1.5 assists. So, yeah, he's not facilitating.
He deserved that.
I don't know if he deserves $94 million. I will wait and see what he does next year. Evan Fournier, 5 years, $85 million, 17.2 points a game, 3.1 rebounds, 3 assists. He's making $85 million. Who? Allen Crabbe. The Blazers, listen, if there's a...
Blazers got money.
If there's, yo, they do. But if there's three teams on this list that I've seen that just love to just throw money away, who I need to go try out for, it will be the Trailblazers, it will be the Lakers, and it will be the Knicks. I'm going to get to them in a sec. Allen Crabbe, 4 years, $75 million. He's averaging 10.7 points, 2.9 rebounds a game, and 1.2 assists. And was he injured like Evan Turner?
No.
Or does he just suck?
But what's idiotic about that was last season when the Nets were going to offer him $50 million, they had to bump it up for some reason.
Listen.
Because he was definitely going to take 4 years, $57 million.
The Blazers throwing money around like they have a championship contender. They just need to add pieces real quick. I don't understand it. Joakim Noah of the New York Knicks, 4 years, $72 million. Explain that. Explain that from your team, Justin.
I got no experience.
You're damn right. Luol Deng, Lakers, 4 years, $72 million. Lakers again. Timothy Mozgov, 4 years, $65 million. And lastly on this list, Mr. Solomon Hill going to the Pelicans for 4 years, $52 million. Who is that guy? Who he play for? Who are you? Listen, more people in the league need to be signing players to contracts like this. David West, 1 year, $1.5 million, okay? Nay with the Rockets, 1 year, $2.9 million. I've seen a lot of contracts. Those are contracts that used to be given to star players, and they're being given to mediocre players.
Those are players that are honest about their skills.
It's amazing to me that those are the contracts we saw last summer, and there's only going to be more cap room to sign more ridiculous contracts. And it's crazy to me. I understand it, though, because we all know that the teams in the league have to spend a certain amount of money of their cap space for the year. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe we got to get used to this is the norm, that bum players are going to start making big money.
That's what's going to happen.
Ugh, man.
You know, it's a divided and conquered kind of thing. Because obviously, the league wants to kind of give that parity within organizations, control costs. Because, you know, the better organizations that make more money can spend more money. So they're trying to just give a level of parity, which I completely understand. And I completely understand where you're coming from, a lot of bum players or players that are undeserving of contracts, which I 100% agree.
But let me not say bum players, but just players that are undeserving of that kind of money because of the play that they've shown from years past and the play they're showing this season. It's like these guys are getting overpaid and... Maybe it's on us because we haven't been used to this. We haven't seen the money thrown around like this in a while. Maybe that's why Baron Davis was trying to make a comeback. But I guess it's our. Maybe we need to have a paradigm shift and understand that this $75 million for 4 years from a guy averaging 9 points is the norm for that guy producing those type of weak stats. Maybe that's the norm now.
With that salary cap, I don't see why it wouldn't be. If you got the money to throw around, throw it around.
But man, it gets you a little upset, man. It's like,
of course it gets you upset because you got people that's throwing up 5, 6, 7 points a game
and getting big money.
And like you said, you feel like you could throw up those numbers.
I'm gonna put up a little 5 points a game. I can facilitate, play a little defense, man. Well, I could do that. Listen, I don't want it to look like I'm hating, like, oh, man, you don't want the players to get the money. I do, but I players that are deserving of the money, yeah, man, give them $250 million. LeBron, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, James Harden, all right? Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Giannis Antetokounmpo, whoever, man. I'm talking about star players that put up numbers that work hard every game and show it on the stats and on the wins. I'm talking about those players.
People like Allen Crabbe.
Not guys averaging 9 points a game. I'm sorry. I can't agree with that.
There's a couple side notes.
Pay them, but don't pay them like that.
Do you personally feel like the NBA is doing better? Like, this season was one of the best seasons out there where teams are competitive.
In terms of parity?
Yes, teams are competitive.
I would say yes. It has been a surprisingly good season in terms of parity because I didn't think that was going to be the case. But in you asking me that question, what's your point?
simple like this. All right, the NBA is doing better. The salary cap's going. Players are going to get a little bit more money. That's the only direction
to do it. They only have this TV money, yeah, man.
If more people watch TV, if they keep getting those big contracts.
If this was one of the worst seasons we've ever watched, as I thought last season was, if this was a follow-up, chapter two to two horrible seasons, they would still be making that money because the TV money is already in. So, listen, it has nothing to do with play. I'm just happy that we're seeing some good basketball. Man. That's all. All right? Now, Something and Nothing, as entertaining as it was, is finally over, okay? And we're going to get to one of our biggest topics of the day that I want to talk about because I'm the official Cav hater, apparently. And that's, are we on Cavs watch? Like, we have to be on Cavs watch, right? Like, do they look like they are a championship team?
I mean,
you guys are still aren't worried about them coming.
I'm not.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10. How worried are you about them coming out these?
4.
3.
Maybe 3.
3.
Okay. Listen. All right, let's go over. They came out to perform against the Celtics.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Go ahead, before I get to these stats.
Do you remember when Houston went back-to-back?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what seed they went into the playoffs as?
I do.
They was the 6th seed.
I do.
Why are you worried about the Cavs?
Okay.
Who's in the East to knock them out?
Since you want to bring up the Houston Rockets going back to back, let's talk about my guy Kenny the Jet Smith from Brooklyn.
That's your guy.
Yeah. He's from Queens. Yeah, right. He's from Queens. Okay, New York. Whatever. You from Queens? Oh, nah. Okay. Yeah. Hakeem the Dream. We'll talk about you. Let's talk about that second season when they went into the 6th seed. What was the trade they made in the middle of that season?
They got Clyde Jackson.
Clyde who?
Clyde Jackson.
Say it one more time. You're not? You're going to leave the mic dry like that?
Clyde Drexler.
Thank you. Okay. Clyde Drexler. All right. We're talking about a Hall of Famer, perennial superstar, all-star guy that they brought in the middle of the season. If they don't bring him in, do they go back-to-back?
I think there's still a chance.
We can't play the Land of
Webb. Yeah, I think there's still a chance, okay, though.
I don't. I agree, Justin. We can't go on the Land of Webb, but I don't think, if they don't bring in Clyde Drexler, I don't think they go back-to-back. He was a guy, when they came in, that was the guy that really infused them to go for that back-to-back title. And the Cavs.
But why was he the reason? Because he never had one.
But do the Cavs?
They wanted to get him one.
The Cavs have somebody they don't have.
Don't think LeBron still wants to rack up these rings?
But he's by himself.
I don't think so.
He is the only person on that team whose historic standing, as it comes to what everyone's going to look back when he's retired, is counted on rings. It shows rings. So no one else on that team is going to be looked at as, oh, wow, you didn't win enough rings, except for LeBron James. His legacy is going to be based on the amount of rings that he's won. So to him, it's important. He's never won enough rings. To Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, they may want to win another championship. I'm not saying nobody doesn't want to win another championship, but the drive that they have to go win that second championship is not going to be as high as LeBron's.
I disagree.
Really?
100%.
It may not be as high as LeBron's, but if LeBron's right here, they're one notch under. It's not that crazy at all.
Even close, but
I feel like you're saying,
I'm not saying that they don't want to win. They don't want to win a championship because that's crazy. Everybody wants to win, but I'm saying LeBron's drive to win rings is way higher than probably anyone in the league
If I'm understanding you correctly, I feel like you're saying like the rest of the Cavs except for LeBron are just trying to coast through. They feel like they got it. They know they're gonna get it to the championship.
Right. No. I'm not saying that either. I think it's a thing of being hungry. Last year they were hungry for sure. All right. The year before they were hungry. They wanted to win rings, and it becomes a factor of complacency when you win a ring. That there's a reason why it's difficult to go back to back, and there's definitely a reason why it's difficult to go back to back.
Let me add this factor to you too. If they go back to the ship, that's a third year back to the ship, mm-hmm. right? The championship. Could it be the fact that, yo, it's the third season we've been to the championship, we're trying to kind of coast a little bit because, look, we're trying to really turn it up in the playoffs, right?
Let me ask you this. If they go back to the championship and they meet Golden State Warriors, that'll be the third time they meet in the finals, correct?
Correct.
So that means Golden State has been to the finals the same amount of times that they have over the last two, and depending on what happens this year, would be 3 years, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Do they look like they don't have a drive?
Okay, they only, for me, they personally have a drive simply because one, KD joined them.
No, but okay, do they look? KD did join them, but KD was also absent for the last month and a half. And they, when I was worried about them, they were losing. They figured it out, and they went in and showed me that they won it.
Did they really play crazy teams like that out of the game? No, bro. No, they play Bush League teams. The only teams I give them respect for was San Antonio.
Okay. Yes. Rockets. Yes. What about that week? What about that week last week when they beat the Rockets twice? Went into San Antonio, went into the Grindhouse and beat them. That wasn't a crazy week for them.
That was three games compared
four
to
games. Four games. Actually, we count as five games. I think they played the Washington Wizards also. Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Five games that week. They went 5-0. We didn't think they were going to go 5-0 that week. All right. I admit that the 2 weeks before when they finally getting things together, they played some suspect teams, but they finished up strong and they didn't lose a game still when the big teams came in. So I gotta look at that and say, listen, they want it, they're still hungry, they want to do something. I'm not seeing that same hunger from the Cavs, and it shows in their defense, man.
Here's what I add to that: looking hungry, right? You're losing games when you're missing the best player on the team, right? So the hunger is, yo, we're still good without him. Let's correct y'all right now. Y'all need to tone that back down. That's where I see the hungriness. Whereas Cavs, they had a little bit of injuries, and the last game they lost, Tristan Thompson didn't even play. So for me, I'm not basing it. I'm not worried about the Cavs simply because here's my factors.
Okay. Tristan Thompson didn't even play. He's a major piece.
He's a huge piece.
He didn't play against the Celtics either. Did they win?
Yeah.
They smacked the Celtics, right? So they took that game seriously. The Hawks didn't play any of their starters that game in Cleveland.
Personally, I don't think they take that first game seriously.
Did they take the second game seriously?
They were about 26.
And then what happened? I don't think they went into it taking it seriously. And then when the Hawks started coming back is when they tried to turn it on, and it didn't work out.
Agreed.
But like I keep saying, in a 7-game series, that's not gonna happen.
I'm pretty sure they're gonna sweep the Hawks when it's time come with all the four players that they rested.
I'm not going out and saying that the Hawks are gonna beat the Cavs, but I do think there are teams in the East that could give the Cavs a run for their money. And I already am on record saying that I think Toronto Raptors will beat the Cavs. But I don't think they want to see meet Toronto. I don't think they want to meet Washington Wizards, and I don't think they want to see either Chicago or the Pacers, which they're gonna end up having to face. I don't think they want to play these teams. They want to play the Celtics because they know that. I'm not worried about the Celtics because in the playoff time, the Celtics are gonna get shut down. They want to see teams like that. They want to see the Bucks. I don't think they want to see these teams.
You really saying half the teams in the playoffs is gonna give the Cavs problems?
He has a Raptors.
That's half the teams.
The only team I mentioned that I said that's going to beat the Cavs is a Raptors.
No, I'm not saying beat them. Oh. I'm saying giving them problems. You got four teams in the East giving the Cavs problems.
Yes, I think if the Cavs match up and they play either the Bulls or Celtics, they will not the Bulls or the Pacers, they won't sweep them. And I think if they see the Washington Wizards or if they see Toronto, they're going to lose. If they see the Washington Wizards, they're not sweeping them.
Here's my thing: we're not sitting here saying, "Oh, they're going to sweep these teams." We're just simply saying,
like, but that's my point. I'm saying that they're worried they're going to give them problems.
Six games is problems. Six games is a regular series, bro.
Warriors lost to the Trailblazers two games last year.
Yeah, if they get brought to game seven against a team that's not supposed to get brought. Think about it. You trying to tell me those same teams that you named, I'm going to just give you the Wizards and the Raptors. You trying to tell me those teams can't win two games at home?
Yeah.
That's six games right there.
Okay, that's fine.
That's not problems.
And look at the team that you're going to beat in the finals. The Boston Celtics, who you bust them down at Boston. So
I'm not giving Boston Celtics a road to the championship.
Me neither.
To the conference finals.
They're not going to the conference finals.
I'm not giving them conference finals.
If everything stays as it is, with them being the number one, Cavs being number two, I believe Toronto's number three, and Washington Wizards are number four, I have Cavs playing Bulls or Pacers, however that works out, and I have Cavs playing Toronto in the second round and playing Washington Wizards in the third round if they do beat Toronto. I seem to be the only one worried about Cleveland, clearly, and that's cool. It's smart not to bet against LeBron, but there comes a time where there's going to be a day where LeBron isn't able to make the finals for the consecutive time in a row. There's gonna come a day.
And honestly, I won't be mad at that. I think
it's this year because I just don't. They're not playing well, and no matter what anyone thinks, there's no switch to flip. You can't flip a switch, and I used to think there was a switch to flip, especially when I watched when the Lakers were trying to go back to the championship for the fourth time with Kobe, Gasol, and Bynum. I used to think there was a switch until they went into the playoffs and they got swept. And I'm not saying the Cavs are gonna get swept, but the switch doesn't flip, man. And they'll probably be able to get past the mediocre teams. But if you're gonna meet a team that has the personnel that I think can defeat you, then I think it's possibility. Now you guys are looking at me like, oh, LeBron's gonna take over. We've seen LeBron take over the last month. He's had stats. His stats have gone up in 2K because he's playing well. They're still losing.
Here's my thing.
They're not overcoming. He's not helping them to overcome the losses, and that is an issue.
You just said four teams will beat the Cleveland Cavaliers.
No, I'm sorry.
I only said Toronto.
My prediction is that Toronto Raptors will beat Cleveland Cavaliers.
So and I disagree. In the finals. And I disagree with
I
that.
I have Toronto in the finals.
Against who?
Golden
State?
And they're going to choke.
Listen, we're not talking about the West right now, okay? We're not talking about the West.
But
right
honestly,
The West is very difficult. Give me this week, and when we come back next Sunday,
Obviously, we have the fave.
We do. But in terms of the East, I'm going to go with Toronto. I'm going to go with the changing of the guards, man. I have to.
Listen.
I have. All right.
Since you want to talk about hungry?
Mm-hmm.
Toronto's not hungry enough. DeMar DeRozan's not carrying that team to that championship.
I'm sorry.
Kyle Lowry is not healthy enough for it.
I agree. I don't know about that.
He's not in shape. But I'm not talking about. I never said Toronto was going to win championship.
No, you said Toronto is going to the championship.
Yes.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I disagree.
And you said hunger, but they're hungry to beat the Cavs.
Pacers look more hungry than them.
They can say they're hungry all they want. I think when the bright lights come on, the lights get brighter in the playoffs.
I don't know if DeMar can handle that.
Did they not make it
to the conference finals last year?
Off of luck.
And they were playing horrible.
Who did they have to
Pacers in Miami.
The Cavs had to play.
And they played seven
games.
That's
my point. The whole season, everybody was like, it's going to be Cavs, Toronto, conference finals. And then it happened.
My issue with bringing up Toronto last year is because they played horrible. They still willed themselves to the conference finals. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry probably had, statistically, they had one of the worst playoff offensive games, not games, but just in the totality of that playoff session, had one of the worst combined stats ever.
Does that say that they don't show up in the playoffs?
Thank you.
What it says to me is that they were able to overcome that and that this year could be different.
Well, it shows me that they don't show up in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, they did show up because they still made it to the finals. They found ways to win. They found ways to get to the conference finals. And that, to me, was what was more impressive than anything.
You know why I still disagree with you? Because the competition in the East is better. I'm not saying it's better to beat the Cavs, but it's better to take out Toronto.
And beware, this year, or at least
give Toronto problems.
No, I agree.
All we could do is wait and see. That's all we could do. But I am on record saying the Cavs will lose this year, and I'm not putting money on it, but I am on record saying.
Who's the sixth seed?
I believe it's the Bucks.
Prediction right now: Milwaukee Bucks will beat Raptors.
My God.
This season.
My God.
This playoff season, Milwaukee Bucks will knock out Raptors. I promise you that. I promise you.
You promising things you have no control over, brother.
I was about
to
say, you about to put a wager on that?
you already owe us dinner for, Friday appetizers.
He said that based on facts, though.
For that Zags loss.
You want to go Friday appetizers?
Oh, it's unlimited apps, bro.
Oh, I didn't know.
Now you know.
All right.
And you owe us. All right, so it has been a great episode, as always. Thank you for tuning in.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you for subscribing on iTunes.
Yes, yes,
thank you
yes.
for following the page on Facebook.
Yes, yes,
thank you
yes.
for checking out our Instagram. Thank you for checking out our Twitter. Oh, wait, don't have that yet. Soon to be up Twitter. Make sure to look out for that. Listen, next week, you have to tune in. We're going to have our special guest returning, Mr. Eli, a.k.a. Adrenaline, and Daniel, a.k.a. Feminist Dan. He will be in the building. We'll be talking mostly basketball, NBA, If anything big happens during the week, we'll touch on it. But we're talking NBA awards. We're talking playoff seeding. We're talking finals predictions. And we're talking anything that I didn't mention just now. We're going to be talking NBA-wise, all right? So, tune in. Thanks again. See y'all next week, man.
Peace.
Later.